Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I think the Martin County Sheriff put it best today when he talked about the potential conspiracy here and all the questions that surround this. I got a lot more out of this guy than I did from the FBI and the Secret Service today. I'll play that clip in just a second. But the big story of the day, obviously brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. The FBI, Secret Service, the big takeaway from that was that this was an unplanned movement by Trump. So we know the guy was there for maybe 12 hours hanging out in the bushes. But I got to tell you, as a buddy of mine who's a cop said it, said, you know, I'm very concerned all day about the Secret Service leak that the assassin's cell phone placed him in the bushes for 12 hours prior to the incident. Why the need to put that info out before the press conference? And what's with this unplanned movement? What is that? So that was the thing, too. They said, well, Trump wasn't planning. This was an unplanned movement. And so Trump just spontaneously showed up on the golf course. There was no, hey, I'm going to go golf. Secret Service gets in the golf carts. They go out to protect him. They make sure everything's cool. Like, something about this stinks to high heaven. It really does. And this guy's been to Ukraine. This guy was fighting on the side of the Ukrainians, but not really physically in the fight, they say, trying to recruit Afghans to fight. He wrote this manifesto. He wanted Iran to kill Trump. Joe Biden came out and basically said, you know, the typical talking point, you know, violence has no place in all this. We know Iran wants to kill Trump. I think it's easy to blame the Iranians. If somebody in our government is helping here, if somebody in our government is helping to facilitate all this, it's very easy to go, oh, look, Iran. But you tell me now at two different times this guy was able to breach the perimeter, because that's what happened here. I mean, he breached the perimeter of Trump's golf course. And the other guy was able to breach the perimeter at Butler and get on a roof with a gun. There's an old saying, you know, I was born at night, but not last night. These two things just don't seem to be that easy to accomplish. You know what I mean? They just really don't. And Secret Service now says Trump has the highest level of protection. They say that now. You didn't give him the highest level of protection after he almost got his head blown off in Butler? Here's the Martin County Sheriff. I agree with this guy. There's a lot of questions here. And is it part of a conspiracy? They didn't say it wasn't today. They didn't say he was working alone. They didn't say he was working with anybody. But they didn't say much today. I like what the sheriff had to say, though. Cut eight.
After wherever he came from.
Did he have any, to your knowledge, any ties to Martin County or the Treasure Coast?
Yeah, to my knowledge, does he have any ties to Martin County? I think the answer, to my knowledge, the answer is no, I have no knowledge. I think what we're finding out, he's not from this area, which of course raises the bigger question is, how does a guy from not here get all the way to Trump International, realize that the president, former president of the United States, is golfing and is able to get a rifle in that vicinity? I think that's the question the FBI, the Secret Service are laser focused on today. Is this guy part of a conspiracy? Is he a lone gunman? If he's a lone gunman, President Trump is that much safer because we have him. But if he's part of a conspiracy, then this whole thing really takes on a very ominous tone.
So the guy's just hanging out, waiting, hope on the off chance Trump may go out there and golf. There's this really great scene in the movie The American President with Michael Douglas and Michael J. Fox. So the plot of the movie, if you haven't seen it, it's very good. It's a good movie. Obviously, it has a total lefty message, particularly at the end. But it's an entertaining movie nonetheless. But anyway, there's this whole scene where Michael Douglas is the president. He's single, and he likes Annette Bening's character, who's a lobbyist, and he wants to buy her flowers. And they're driving through D.C., and he says, I want to jump out of this, you know, and go into this this flower shop and buy flowers. And Michael J. Fox's character goes, well, we need to have the Secret Service do a sweep. You know, you can't just jump out. And goes, he goes, what are the chances that there's an assassin just waiting in this flower shop on the off chance I may go in and buy flowers? Like, stop. You know, and he just gets out of the car and he goes in. So is this gunman just waiting in the bushes on the off chance that Trump may go out golfing on a Sunday when he could have been on the campaign trail? How does the guy know that Trump's going to be there? He just happens to be there. This is the part that I really have a problem with here. I really, of everything I've heard, this is the part that I cannot shake here. If you want to kill Donald Trump and you are hoping that he's going to be on the golf course and he just happens to be on the golf course in an unplanned movement, and this guy happens to be between hole five and hole six, or really closer to hole six when you look at the map, and he's just kind of just waiting it out with an AK-47 and hoping that nobody in the Secret Service sees him and hoping that no cops come by and hoping that no groundskeepers come by? I mean, not even a groundskeeper might come by to make sure there's no, I don't know, groundhogs or something in the, you know, in the bushes. He's just going to wait on the off chance. And it's the middle of the election season. It's a Sunday. It's a weekend. Trump could have been getting on a plane to go fly to Pennsylvania or campaign somewhere else in Florida for the afternoon. I mean, Florida is a state that we're most likely going to win. But, you know, you don't take anything for granted. He could have been leaving to go to a big rally somewhere. So the guy's just going to hang out and just wait, like nowhere better to be. Waiting for Trump to just go golfing, and then, oh, look, he goes golfing. Yeah, it's just, this is the part about this that I have a real problem with here. I really do. And then the theories, which some of them are just so absurdly stupid. You know, like somebody who's a member of the club who hates Trump may have called to let the guy know that Trump was going golfing. And so that the guy could figure out what time Trump would be on the hole. You're not spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to be a member of Trump's golf course so that you could hopefully one day maybe be able to give an assassin tips on where Trump's movements are. Like, that's not what. And then to be there that day when he happens to be hiding in the bushes so that you could send the would-be assassin some inside information. And if that was the case, then we would figure that out very, very quickly. Now, the guy's alive until he pulls a Jeffrey Epstein. So I hope they're watching this guy 24/7 with multiple cameras that won't go out and multiple people there to make sure he doesn't Jeffrey Epstein himself. But the fact of him just hanging out on the off chance Trump goes golfing and then this unplanned movement, as the Secret Service said it today or the FBI said it, whatever, this unplanned movement where Trump then just spontaneously goes out golfing. And they ask them, they go, well, did you secure the perimeter or anything like this? And they're like, well, it was an unplanned movement. What? It's an unplanned movement to go to his golf course? So you understand, I mean, Mar-a-Lago, where Trump lives, doesn't have a golf course. So he has to go to the golf course so that when he decides I'm going to go golfing, that involves getting everybody into the SUVs, the motorcade going to the golf course. At what part is that not a planned movement when they go, all right, even if he just decided last minute he wants to golf, like, all right, you know, I feel like golfing now. You still got to get everybody in the car. You got to buckle up. You got to get the agents in the cars, whoever else is golfing with them. You got to do all that. Then you got to have the arrival team on site so that he can get out of the car at the golf course. And
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You can go and golf and do all those things. So what about this is an unplanned movement? This is what I'm trying to understand here. And then nevertheless, you find out, okay, he's on his way over. Let's just do a quick sweep of the perimeter. A drone, I don't know, something. Make sure there's no guy hiding in the bushes with a freaking AK-47 on the off chance Trump just may be coming by for a round of golf. At this club. And the other thing, too, is that there's other places he could go golfing. He doesn't have to just be at that one. So how come he didn't go to Jupiter that day to golf? Maybe he wanted to go there. The whole thing stinks. I'm telling you, there's something to this is just not sitting right with me. And then the other thing is that the FBI had this guy on his sights. This guy has spoken to the press over the years about Ukraine. How does that happen, too? How does this just random citizen get all these interviews with, like, Newsweek Romania about Ukraine and everything else? But this is one of the takeaways from the press conference today from, I guess it was the FBI, confirming that this guy was on their radar screen. I think I sent that to you, Matt, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Trump attempted assassin Ryan Routh has been on the FBI's radar since 2019. Take a listen.
By way of his background, in 2002, as the United States attorney mentioned, the subject was charged and convicted in North Carolina for possession of a weapon of mass destruction. Law enforcement checks also revealed that from 1997 to 2010, the subject had numerous felony charges for stolen goods. I can also share with you that he was the subject of a previously closed 2019 tip to the FBI, where it was alleged he was a felon in possession of a firearm. And following up on the tip, the alleged complainant was interviewed and did not verify, I repeat, did not verify providing the initial information. The FBI passed that information to local law enforcement in Honolulu.
Yeah, very, very strange. And he waited for 12 hours in the bushes. Something stinks about this, I'll tell you what. Something stinks. And we still don't have all the details on the first assassination attempt in Butler. And, of course, we know that what we were told last week from Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat, is that when we get the truth on that, it's going to shock us. All right, listen, NJ Diet's going to help you lose weight. You gain some weight this summer, that happens. Barbecues, and you're drinking a lot by the pool, and next thing you know, you put on some weight. Don't worry about it. NJ Diet's going to help you. Dr. T is going to help you directly. You'll get his personal email and phone number. You'll be there every step of the way, guided to make sure that you will lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, contractually guaranteed. NJ Diet. Diet.com. Just call him at 855-5-NJ-DIET or online consultations available at NJDiet.com. NJDiet.com. You will lose the weight for good. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, by the way. That's the thing, too. A lot of these other things out there, there's no guarantee. And here's the other thing, too, which I think you should know, which is that NJ Diet's all natural. There's no shots. There's no hormones. None of that stuff. It is just absolutely a wonderful, wonderful way to go because those shots are banned in Europe because a lot of them have side effects and everything else. And I'll tell you, too, if you want to do this, think about the timeline. You're going to be 20 to 40 pounds lighter before the election. Think about that. You know, the election's right around the corner. 20 to 40 plus pounds right before the election. You can't beat that. So just do it today. 855-5-NJ-DIET. 855-5-NJ-DIET or NJDiet.com. Lose the weight for good. Guaranteed.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And by the way, I also want to share Nick Foles' tweet because he tweeted out, I'm currently going down Broad Street, heading to the link for the first time since I played against the Texans. I'm grateful to be here today. I'm excited to watch the Eagles game tonight as they take the field for their home opener. I know the fans are going to bring the insane energy they always do. Fly, Eagles, fly. As from Nick Foles. There you go. I want to make this point about the golf courses, because I know that it's kind of hard to understand how this is possible. And, you know, I've been down there before. So I was at Mar-a-Lago and I was at Jupiter. But I've never personally been to Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. I have not been to Trump National in Doral either. But understand, though, how close these things all are. All right. So Mar-a-Lago, which is where Trump lives, is about 4.5 miles from Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. But Trump also owns Jupiter, which is 14 miles away. And he owns Trump National Doral, which is about 14 miles north from Miami. So the bottom line is this. When I say to you that he could have gone to Jupiter, right? I mean, 14 miles for him is nothing. They're speeding. It's the Secret Service. They're, you know, former president, protectee. He's not like he's sitting in traffic. And it's not like he can just go from Mar-a-Lago to the golf club with just a blink of an eye. I mean, he has to get, that's what I said, he's got to get into the motorcade. The motorcade's got to drive over there. He's got to cross a bridge to get across, you know, Mar-a-Lago's on a barrier island, so he's got to cross the bridge, get into the mainland, and he's got to go to the golf club. So that takes a normal person without traffic about 15 minutes. It's going to take him a lot less time, obviously, to get there, but it would take him about 15 minutes to get to Jupiter, too. When you know, we actually watched Super Tuesday with him at Jupiter, not Palm Beach. It was Jupiter where they had the whole incident with Corey Lewandowski and Michelle, what's her name? That was that club. So how does the shooter just randomly know? Like, he just waits at that golf club. Why not Jupiter? Why not Doral? Why there? And then how is it that Trump just, in this unplanned movement, decides to go there? And then, even if it's unplanned and he's at Mar-a-Lago and he just decides spontaneously Sunday morning, I want to go play golf. All right. Well, you got to get the cars. You got to get everybody ready to go. You're about to leave his secure residence, which is also a club that is frequently by, you know, members, guests. There's events there. There's all kinds of things. But you got to get everybody together. The motorcade's going to be right outside. They pile everybody in. You got to drive. So now it's not an unplanned movement anymore. Then suddenly there's a phone call that's made over at a Trump golf club at West Palm Beach going, okay, the president's on his way. He's going to play golf. Because if nothing else, the other members know you better step aside. He's going to go. He doesn't wait. So if it's at, I think they said 1 o'clock or whatever it was, well, whoever's got the 1 o'clock tee time is about to get bumped for the former president. And his team's going to get up there, and then he's going to golf, and then he's going to push everybody else ahead of him. Whoever else is ahead of him is going to step aside, and Trump's going to play through. That's not really that unplanned. You know what I mean? That's not that unplanned. There's a lot of planning that actually goes into that the minute he decides spontaneously, I want to play golf. This guy just happens to be in the bushes with an AK-47 on the off chance that Trump may just spontaneously decide to golf at this particular golf course versus, say, the others that he owns. Something stinks. I'm telling you, something stinks. All right, we got former Senate candidate Jeff Bartos joining me. Let's talk about Trump in Pennsylvania. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me now is a man you know quite well. He's a, I'd say, major figure in Pennsylvania politics, but also national politics as well. But most importantly, he's my friend. Jeff Bartos, political strategist, the Republican nominee for United States Senate, and he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Hello, Jeff Bartos.
Oh, Rich, so great to be with you. And, obviously, thank you so much for everything you did when Scott and I were the nominees in 2018 and when I was running in 2022. And now it's fun to be helping Dave McCormick and President Trump and all of our great candidates, Stacey Garrity, Dave Sunday, Tim DeFore, some of the congressional candidates. So, yeah. We're kind of at the epicenter here.
Lieutenant Governor candidate. I elevated you, but yes, of course, the nominee for Lieutenant Governor. And it's great to have you back on the show. So let's talk first of all about the current state of our politics right now. You know, another assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump's life. The rhetoric from the left, I mean, calling him Hitler, calling him Mussolini, saying he's a threat to end democracy. I mean, it's enough already, right?
It's beyond the pale. And the fact, I think I saw this morning, such a That's a powerful line. I saw. I'm gonna use it, and I won't be able to give proper attribution to say that when an assassination attempt against a presidential candidate is a one day story, you are on your road to being a banana republic, and that is a very poignant and powerful statement. And we cannot allow that to happen. This should be 5 alarm bells going everywhere around the country and around the world. It's terrible. It's beyond terrible. And the craziest part of all. And there's a lot of crazy parts here. You know President Trump. I know President Trump. We've both spoken to him. He's a thoughtful, really interesting, fun person to speak with. And the people in the media, the legacy media that make him out to be anything other than the successful president that he was and will be again is what's shameful.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's so not a dictator, and he's so not a threat to democracy. He had 4 years. He left office. We didn't have this tyrannical rule from Donald Trump. Quite the opposite. We were very, very free. But there's so many montages of the left calling for political violence on him. And, you know, I really wish they could just focus on policy and focus on issues, but they seem to just not be able to help themselves. But let's do that. Let's talk, first of all, about an issue that's very important near and dear to your heart. And that's Israel. I know that you have given the Trump campaign your thoughts on Israel, on Jewish-American relations. Give us the overall sense of where everything stands right now. I know you've got a lot of connections with people in the Israeli government.
Well, in fact, I just had a meal with former National Security Advisor to Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's become a dear friend, and he's here in the United States for a little while, heading back to Israel tomorrow. And we talked about the seven-front kinetic war. Think about that, Rich. Israel is the size of New Jersey, and right now they're fighting a kinetic war on seven fronts, all dictated by the Islamic Republic of Iran and, of course, its proxies. And so it's inconceivable for Americans to imagine what our ally Israel is going through, and yet they persevere and they're going to win this war. President Trump was the most effective president in U.S. history for the U.S.-Israel relationship. Israel was peaceful and prosperous under President Trump, and we had the Abraham Accords. We just celebrated the four-year anniversary yesterday of the signing of the Abraham Accords, which brought unprecedented peace and prosperity to the Gulf Arab states and Israel. And we're on our way to normalizing relations with Saudi Arabia, which was one of the reasons why Iran and Hamas brutally and barbarously attacked Israel on October 7th. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. So we can't get there soon enough to get President Trump back behind the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office and bring peace, prosperity, stability to the region and to the world. We had no new wars under President Trump, and the Harris-Biden team has been an unmitigated disaster, both abroad and, of course, here at home.
I read something the other day that said, it was Nate Silver who was talking about that if the Harris campaign had picked Josh Shapiro as their running mate, they'd be in a much better position right now than, you know, picking Tim Walz. And, of course, there's a lot of people that speculate, including Nate Silver, that part of the reason why he was not picked was because the governor's Jewish. Do you think there's some merit to that?
Well, of course, I've known Josh a long time. We've been friends a long time. I think one of the reasons we've been friends so long is we don't talk politics with each other. We usually talk about family and catch up on the other things in life besides politics. But it is I'll give you the reaction of my wife, Cheryl, and her friends who love Israel and who are proud Pennsylvanians. They just thought it was one more kick in the teeth by the radical left. There's a hardcore anti-Israel, I'll call it Jew-hating, Hamas caucus of the radical left, which are the activists in their party. And so clearly Kamala Harris was walking a fine line, which is unwalkable. And she picked, by turning her back on Josh Shapiro, who's a popular governor in the most important state in this election, she turned her back on Governor Shapiro, and she picked the worst nominee in our lifetime, Rich. I can't recall I'm 52 this year. I can't recall a worse nominee in our lifetime. He is terrible. And across every, you name it, right? Whether it's social issues, economic issues, national security, his 33 trips to China. Tim Walz is a walking disaster. The very first decision that Kamala Harris had to make after she became the presumptive nominee in late July was whether or not to do her job and attend the speech by Prime Minister Netanyahu before a joint session of Congress. And she chose to go to a sorority party instead of doing her job. Her next big choice was who's going to be her nominee, and she completely, you know, failed. I mean, there isn't a letter grade that would describe it. It's an F minus minus minus. Tim Walz is an unmitigated disaster and an embarrassment, and he cannot be one heartbeat away from the presidency.
Jeff Bartos, you know Pennsylvania well as the lieutenant governor nominee for the Republican Party and a candidate for the United States Senate. So you've run statewide multiple times in Pennsylvania. I thought early voting was starting today. And in fact, I remember last week on the show saying early voting was starting on Monday in Pennsylvania. What happened?
We had a Supreme Court case on Friday, which I think, you know, I talked to the lawyers involved on Friday afternoon late, who I know, and you probably know them as well. We have great lawyers for the RNC and for the PA GOP, and our GOP chair is a very renowned election lawyer as well, in addition to being our chair. And that case was a winnable case. It was a case that should have been won. I think still legal prognosticators were surprised that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court weighed in like they did and threw out the really shameful lawsuit that the Dems brought. I'd call that a friendly lawsuit. The PA Dems brought that lawsuit against friendly counties in Philadelphia and Allegheny County, and the Supreme Court followed the law and said, no, we're not doing this. You failed to properly sue all 67 counties. You failed to properly join the parties that you needed to join. You're out. And so the law, whatever you think about Pennsylvania election law, the law is very clear that they have to be dated, signed, and you have to follow the rules. The simple rules, you got to follow them. The Supreme Court said you're out. There'll be additional litigation on that. And so what I'm hearing, at least, is that there's going to be some delay here as these court cases get digested by the counties. So here we are again, right? The most important swing state, and we just can't seem to get the trains to run on time.
Let's, in thinking in just bigger, I mean, obviously everybody keeps talking, Jeff, about Pennsylvania being the state you have to win. Whoever wins Pennsylvania becomes president of the United States. You traveled Pennsylvania a lot when you were campaigning. I mean, all parts of it, all 67 counties. The fracking issue and Kamala Harris attempting to walk it back, you know, her clear, very, very passionate opposition to fracking and her very passionate desire to ban fracking. Are people buying this flip-flop?
No. Pennsylvanians ain't buying what she's selling. She's just lying. I mean, it's unpleasant to say it, but there's no other way to describe it. The vice president is lying to voters, not only on fracking, but in Pennsylvania, let's focus on fracking. She's just lying. And I was asked last week, why do the Democrats hate drilling and energy independence so much? And the answer is because they want to control our lives. If Kamala Harris and her team control energy, they control the economy. If they control the economy, they control our lives. That's the same reason they want to control health care. And so Pennsylvania's bounty, here we have, four Saudi Arabia's worth of natural gas under our feet. We're one of the largest energy reserves in the world just here in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania gas is the key to our economic future here in the Commonwealth and throughout the region. But I would also say, Rich, that Pennsylvania's gas, our gas and energy and natural resources here are a national security asset that the Harris-Biden team have failed to deploy. And when President Trump's back in the White House, he understands the power of energy independence and then energy dominance. Pennsylvania has a real chance not only to be, I always thought we could be the leading fastest growing economy in the nation if we just unleashed our energy resources and all the downstream industry and production that comes from it. But then add to that, Europe wouldn't have to rely on Russian oil and gas. Some of our other countries around the world wouldn't have to rely on Iranian or Venezuelan oil and gas. There are really bad actors out there playing in the energy markets. The more U.S. production gets into the global commerce, the safer and more secure the world will be, our allies will be, and of course here, our economic future is in our own hands and not relying on China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, and all the other bad actors that Kamala Harris and her very, very dangerous national security team, I can't even call them a national security team. I would call them a national surrender team. We cannot allow them to be making policy.
It's also frustrating because it's the kind of thing where not only would it be devastating to Pennsylvania's economy, to the national security, as you just mentioned, Jeff Bartos, it's also a bigger problem with the left in general, which is that their constant pushing of green energy makes us so reliant on China. You know, my friend Victoria Coates was on, who I know you know quite well, talked to Victoria Coates the other day, who was Trump's deputy national security advisor, and she's an expert on energy at the Heritage Foundation. she was saying this. You know, she said there it's Chinese handcuffs. It once again puts the United States of America, Pennsylvania, under the handcuffs of China because of the green energy movement. How much of the stuff is manufactured over there, and how China's playing us on all this. And we could have a giant liquid natural gas export facility right outside our backyard in Philadelphia. We could be competing with Vladimir Putin. Instead, we're emboldening China. We're emboldening Vladimir Putin with all these ridiculous energy policies that we have.
Yeah, and you had the perfect guest on, Victoria. I've known. We went to high school together. She's brilliant. And not only is she brilliant, but she also explains it in a way for everybody, right? From presidents to everyday working people who don't delve into these issues every day. Victoria's brilliant at that. And she's absolutely
She even helps me understand it. And that's not easy to do. So
she can also explain the designated hitter rule. And so she's multifaceted. She's got the sports brilliance and also the economic and national security brilliance. But no, it's spot on. I mean, if the U.S. isn't leading, then other bad actors are going to come in. And if you look at the progeny of Obama to Biden to Harris, that's their worldview. That's their worldview, is giving up U.S. leadership and giving up U.S. dominance in the important industries and turning that over to bad actors, whether it's China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba. It's really dangerous. It's why this matters. It's hard to get Americans interested in national security, but it is actually the place where the president has the most discretion to do what the president wants to do. And so we have to sound the alarm. And I really appreciate you bringing up these questions to sound the alarm of what Kamala Harris and her national security team represent. They represent not only a continuation of the disastrous policies of President Biden and President I've said O'Biden, right?
Yeah,
President Obama,
I mean,
and President.
He's the guy pulling the strings. So, yeah, it works.
Yeah, as you say, the Freudian slip, but that worked in my favor. Whether it's Obama, Biden, and now Harris, they just don't see the world the way that President Trump does, and the way Victoria does, the way you do, Rich. And this is the most consequential election that any of us can recall, and we have to get President Trump and his team back in the White House.
You know, Jeff, one of the things I really appreciated about your candidacy when you ran statewide was the fact that you're a business guy and you get it. Let's talk about the economy, because I still think it is the number one issue. I mean, all these issues we're talking about, absolutely. And obviously, energy drives inflation to such a degree. Kamala Harris's answer the other day on 6ABC was so bad, you know, talking about people who are proud of their lawns. And I mean, just a babbling word salad. And, you know, and thank you for retweeting me on that point the other day. And by the way, follow Jeff on X at Jeff_Bartos. She's bad on the economy, and it's the number one issue. And I think part of the problem for her is that she's aligned. This is her administration. She can't escape it. You can't be the change candidate if you are the incumbent, and she's running as the incumbent. But the other problem is, in her heart, she's a progressive, so she embraces things like price gauging controls, and she embraces things like government, free government money. And I think Americans see that she's an empty suit when it comes to her economic policy at best. At worst, she's a very dangerous progressive who will take us down the road between her and Tim Walz, really just further down the road of socialism.
Well, look, when Cheryl asked me a question this weekend, she asked me if I could bring the dining room chairs back up from the basement. We had a big event for Dave McCormick at our house last week, and I haven't done some of those to-do lists. And
oh, thanks for the invite, by the way. I mean, you know, not for nothing. Your old buddy Rich would love to have joined you guys.
It was a pretty cool event, I have to say. Sorry about that. Well, when she asked me to bring the chairs back up from the basement, I looked at her and said, my answer to her was, well, I grew up as a middle-class kid, and my mom worked two jobs to get us a house. So I figure if Kamala Harris can answer that, I grew up as a middle-class kid, to what she's going to do to bring down inflation, and I can use that answer with Cheryl anytime she wants me to do something around the house. I mean, come on. Like, they must think we're so stupid that the number one issue on everyone's mind, inflation, the economy, and, of course, then the border and crime, that they don't have to answer the questions and they can just sort of skate through on memes and joy and BS. And it's insulting. Bob Casey does the same thing, by the way. You're watching him. I mean, his answer to everything is either greedflation or where Dave spent some time over the last 10 years. I mean, the reason McCormick's going to win the Senate race, the reason President Trump's going to win Pennsylvania and win the presidency, and the reason we're going to win all the way up and down the ballot is because we have real answers and we have real peace, prosperity, proven leadership under President Trump and a Republican Senate to fall back on, right? We had the best economy in our lifetimes under President Trump. We had, for the first time in our lifetimes, Rich, the wage gap closed. The bottom 20% of wage earners, their wages grew at double the rate of the people in the top 20%. President Trump is the only president who can say that over the last half century. And so making real progress for everyone up and down the wage scale is the record of the Trump administration. And we get a Republican Senate back. We're going to win here in Pennsylvania, as I mentioned. We're going to put in place those policies that bring peace, prosperity, not only to the United States, but to the world. It's I watched that interview on ABC. And by the way, how the heck, you know, is she deciding to do it at a local station and duck every other interview? But leave that to the side. I watched that interview and just thought, they must think we're so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, man, I thought the same thing, Jeff. And by the way, you're off the hook in terms of my lack of invite, because we had, let's see, Reagan had a soccer game, Claire had a soccer game, and Patrick had a football game, and Claire had cheerleading. So there was no chance I could have made a political event. So you're off the hook.
We had the McCormick bus parked in front of our house in Lower Merion Township. Can you imagine what my neighbors must have thought of that?
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, buddy. It was great catching up with you. Let's do this again very, very soon, as we are now in the thick of it here. Jeff Bartos, my man. Follow him again at Jeff_Bartos. We'll talk again soon, pal. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for always for having me on.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.